This programme was made with the support of Sound and Vision, Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a BCI initiative.
This is Bunratty Masonettes, a documentary series on the history of the Masonettes on Bunratty Road. Constructed in the 1960s, the Masonettes are currently undergoing redevelopment. In this five-part series, we'll be talking to some residents past and present and members of the Residents Association who share their experiences of life in the Masonettes with us. We'll also be talking to local councillors and also the Area Housing Manager with Dublin City Council. In part three of this series, Noel McGuinness speaks to Carmel McPartlin and Catherine Bollard, founder members of the Bunratty Residents Association. Noel began by asking Catherine in what year she moved into the area.
89.
Okay, so you're 20 years in the
19 years
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So what was it like when you moved in first? Resources around the area?
Well, there was no resource. Well, we had actually, that's wrong, we had a scout's den where this building is now at the moment, the Civic Centre. And the boxing club was there as well. And that's basically it on this side. Mm-hmm. The schools were on the far side of the river, St. Joseph's. And the church was over there. And then we had Northside Shopping Centre, which was kind of grand, and it was up the road. But that's really all the facilities, and there wasn't much developed in the area at the time.
And of course, in the past few years, then we have the Civic Centre here. That was just an empty.
That was a field.
Ground. Yeah, field.
Field, yeah. And we also had the boxing club, which were in, and the scout then. They were all in prefabs, but they burnt. Unfortunately, they had a fire, mm-hmm. and the things were. Destroyed, and nothing was ever put back in its place, nothing replaced it, put it that way. That was the services gone completely from the Bunratty area, so there's no services for the actual Bunratty area. Now there's services for the communities, mm-hmm. all communities, but not just for, you know, like local clubs or anything for the Bunratty area. There's none on the Bunratty road.
Okay, and I talk to you now, Carmel, you're in the Masonettes. How different what was it like living in the Masonettes now, up to now, so far?
Fairly cramped.
Well, could you describe them to me?
I one-bedroom Masonette, so I was lucky in that I had a daughter. We moved in, she was four. I'm there 14 years. And then as she was getting older then, I'd give her the bedroom and I was in the sitting room. But it was a place where she couldn't bring her friends in because there was always somebody there. Guests were a minimum because I had no space for them to stay. Kids used to play out on the green. We were lucky enough where I was at the time, which is facing the Civic Centre, there was a green there. But she never actually went out because I was working. My mother and father kept her over in their house, mm-hmm. or she went to after schools. So basically her free time was when they eventually moved to Kell. She used to go out for the summer. So that was her play out time. She didn't really mix and have friends over when we moved. Into the Masonettes.
And you moved in?
I moved in 94.
Okay.
So she would have been four and still only going to school and stuff. But it was restricted for kids. There was nothing mm-hmm. for children. There was nothing for youth. And I noticed that in the big time when I moved over. Although from Coolock originally, I remember growing up, there was the summer projects. There was actually youth clubs in the old prefabs where the Nabco housing is now beside the church. And then after that was gone and they built the Nabco houses, there was nothing.
Okay.
They had the Glynn Centre and the Bonnybrook Youth Resource Centre, but that catered for the far side of the river. So we didn't have any youth facilities over here. So the changes then I seen then, they started building the Civic Centre on the place, as Catherine said, where they had the Scouts Den and the Boxing Club. And the services began so much then that you had parents alone, then you had the creche. Northside Partnership was already there. The old boys school then was turned into service provision. Although services were there, there was still nothing for the youth. It's not provision for youth. So I think then in 2002 was the first time Catherine had approached me and says, we have to do something for the kids. Would you be interested? And that's where we rolled from there. And that's the only time when a change actually came that I seen.
Okay.
Other than that, the kids went out and played on the street. That was it. And it wasn't playing out on the street where we did years ago, where you'd stay out till 11 o'clock at night and you'd be dragged in. The kids were out, but there was always fighting. And then, of course, the parents got involved and you couldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't enjoy letting your child out to play. Okay. Simple as that. But there was still nowhere to go.
Were all the Masonettes the same size?
Yeah, apart from, there's six in a block. Five of them would be one bedroom and one would be two bedroom.
Okay.
We all had our own hall door, but one main door into the block. And the biggest problems was if the main door was left open, you could have anybody hanging out and around the masonettes, standing in the yard at night. They would have gangs coming in and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the development, I have been transferred up now towards Northside in temporary accommodation because I'm in phase one. It's still the same. The door gets left open, you still have the gangs in. We have gangs hanging on the corner. The kids are up to no good because they've nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. But that's all going to change, hopefully, with the regeneration. I'm going to go back to you, Catherine, because I want to ask you about the Residents Association and how that came about.
Well, I became involved in drugs around about 10, 11 years ago and started kind of getting the education to go to college to find out about the drugs at the time because heroin had come in. And so as time went by, then we discovered that, when you're actually doing your courses and that, you get talking to other communities like the inner city, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking to me and they were saying that they were ground workers like myself. And they were saying, well, you have no facilities. Why wouldn't the kids be, taking interest in drugs and that? So I was saying, well, basically we needed now to start getting facilities done, and they were saying the best thing is to do is to set up a tenants association. So approach the girls in the masonettes and all and see if there's anyone willing to go on this and set up and just start doing bit by bit, and then you accumulate from that. It works very well in the inner city and it works quite well in a lot of communities.
Mm-hmm.
But there's pockets of communities like ourselves that are not being targeted. Do you know what I mean? We seem to be always behind all the time, even though our voices, we voice our opinion at a lot of things. We don't have enough backup from the actual communities themselves.
And what sort of reaction did you get when you went door to door looking for people to join the association, both in the masonettes and in the houses?
Well, we only done the masonettes at the start to see what the response was, because it was an area now that drugs was moving in quite quick. But the crime rate wasn't huge at the time, Bunrashi, you know what I mean? It was on its way into us, but it wasn't huge at the time. So we only done the masonettes. And it was a great response from the masonettes. We actually got, I think it was about 12 people.
Mm.
But myself, I was the only one from the houses. But there was 12 people actually from the masonettes that wanted to form this tenants association and thought it was a good idea because they have young children and to get these facilities. Mm. And so they were quite, that was our first step at it actually. So while we were actually putting that together, the actual refurbishing of the masonettes was coming in. So it worked out ideal, actually, to have a tenants association so the people could actually say what they wanted to live in,
mm-hmm.
rather than them put up high-rise buildings and nobody gets their say in the matter.
Mm-hmm.
So we approached Carmel drew up all because she would work in the partnership and she had access to all these machines, which is great.
High tech.
I'd get her printing off everything and up on the computer, which was brilliant for
what
us.
What sort of a formula had you got out for the Tens Association to work? I'll ask you that, Carmel.
Nothing.
Nothing at
First
all.
First of all, we wanted to get just people who would be interested in taking part in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What we had a problem at the start was, and basically we had to go around and ask everybody, but Catherine had an idea of who she needed, that we needed strong. But it had to be people who were interested in the whole area and not just on the development of the masonettes. Because the problem with tenants association is you do have people who are single tracked. And they're only there for that reason. So what we needed was a committee who was interested in organising stuff for youth. Yes, worrying about the development of the masonettes and all that, but they had to get involved in all aspects. If you were running a summer camp, they had to get involved with helping out with the kids. They had to help out with raising money. That's what it was all about. But ideally, it did come at the right time. Catherine did approach people at the right time, and we were lucky we got who we had. Now, at this day, and I think half of them have now been moved out because most of them are residents of the Tenants Association. Yeah. They've been housed elsewhere. But the Tenants Association is still going and we're still going strong. But it was ideal at the time because then the community got involved in the redevelopment and the houses were invited because it's in among the redevelopment, it is in among the houses. So it was ideal because they were coming to get interest and saying, oh, well, they're taking an interest in the houses. The houses are taking an interest in what we're getting done in the masonettes. Maybe they'll get an interest and take an interest in. Because it's an older age group who live in the houses. They're settled. They've been there for most of their lives. And then they were willing to give voluntary work. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they were interested in saying, well, instead of having the kids hanging outside me gate causing noise, I'd like to get and take on board. So they have been good.
Okay. Yeah. Can I ask you, Catherine, then, when you heard about the redevelopment of the area, I mean, it's been a good while. Did you think that you'd never see it started, for instance, like it's I suppose halfway or a quarter way through it now? Was it a long time coming?
It was a long time ago, actually. It's God.
2002, 6 years ago was the first plans.
Okay. The first plans. Now, the first plans come out, it looked great, but, you know, basically, as we were looking at it, they were right when they pulled the plans off the thing, because if it's costing them $2 million to do that over there, we'd say, now, I don't know what it's costing them over there, but we say, it would have cost them $38 million just to do what they were trying to do.
But then they consulted with the Residents Association on what
should be done. Yes, all the way.
Yeah, I have to say now, Dublin City Council, they do. They consult us if there's anything going on or anything we can help them with, of course. Mm. We've always had a good understanding with them, which is very good, because years ago you wouldn't have an understanding with Dublin City Council.
Okay.
But we're fortunate enough to have the crew, you know, and they're over in Darendale Billing Centre, but we're fortunate, we are now, I have to say, and we're fortunate enough to have them.
Well, let me ask you now that it's reached fruition at the moment and it's there and then now. So what are you both hoping for now after all the hard work? I mean, after 19 years for yourself, Catherine, and coming up to 15 years for you, Carmel. I'll ask you first, Catherine, what are you hoping for now? And where you were talking about lack of facilities, for instance, for the young, is there anything like that built into it? Playgrounds?
No, playgrounds and that would come under rapid. But at the moment, I have to be honest with you, is we are fighting for a building. We got land and we were promised that they would look into $2 million to build this with the boxing club now and all involved in it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we can't get the government to commit themselves to this money, so we're at a standstill. But there is no services whatsoever in the Bunratty Road. And God knows how long more it's going to take us to fight to get the services in, you know, for the area, because they are going to build this area up and they're going to be bringing in a lot of families. And if you have not got services in this area, you are looking for major problems, major problems.
Okay. Can I ask you, Carmel, then? I mean, you must feel a sense of achievement as an association that you got this far anyway. I mean, there's still a bit of a fight down the road, but...
Oh, yeah, there is still a fight and I am delighted we've got this far. For women who are sitting in the home and working, we didn't think we would have got what we've done so far.
What difference do you think it'll make for women like yourselves when you were saying how cramped it was and the difference in the new places, for instance?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to bring back the sense of community, right? Where you will have the support of your next door neighbour. Second of all, I would like to see people restored and pride in their area, because the masonettes that we had, it was a block of six, you would have graffiti everywhere, indoors and outdoors. Now that people will have their own door, they would be more inclined to keep it themselves. I think that will be restored. Maybe then when they have a sense of pride in their area, they will want to put more time into the providing services for their kids and saying, right, I now have a lovely
house,
I'm going
to
take care of it. I want to get
kids involved.
Part
documentary series on
that's
the
what we're
Masonettes.
Hoping that they will then
coming
put their
up in part
time
four,
into the
Noel
services
McGuinness
we
will
want,
be speaking
which is
to
their
local
own resource building.
Mm-hmm. Sean Paul Mann and
that's
Larry
the only thing left we have to fight for, apart from dealing with the few problems that's on another the development. We have
this
a programme
was made with the support of Sound and Vision, Broadcasting Funding Scheme,
being done as
a BCI
part of
initiative.
And there will be a baby park then facing Jennings, which is the other end. And there will be little mini parks between each block of apartments, but we're going to get the kids to design them because the kids are going to be involved. All that we had the kids involved to ask them what do they want, and they wanted the soccer pitch and the basketball pitch combined. But I'm hoping it will restore a sense of community, because that's what's lost in Coolock.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for both coming in, and congratulations indeed on the success of the Residents Association, and I hope you're very happy in your new homes on the Findlay Bill.
You have been listening to part 3 of a 5-part documentary series on the Bunratty Masonettes. Coming up in part 4, Noel McGuinness will be speaking to local councillors Sean Paul Mann and Larry O'Toole.
This programme was made with the support of Sound and Vision, Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a BCI initiative.